Welcome to Fat Mascara. It's Jess.
I'm Jen. I'm always Jen.
We are rocking and rolling here today. We're back in the studio together. I know it's been a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've got a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. We've got some big beauty headlines. This week was massive.
Beauty news.
And then we're going to talk about acrylic nail, something that's interested me lately. Who's our guest?
Our guest is Renee Rouleau, who flew in from Texas just for us, and I feel so, so special. And we're going to ask her a lot of listener questions, and then just, I got really deep into picking skin and pores and, you know, trigger warning, right? A little bit for this interview. It's a great one.
I needed a warning. I didn't know it was going to be like that. Yeah, I can't wait. Let's get to it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So beauty headlines, first up, is a little bit, we made some headlines. Well, Estee Lauder made headlines talking about bullying in the beauty industry. And Jess and I weighed in last week, and you guys sure weighed in too. And we thought we wouldn't be good journalists if we didn't go to Estee Lauder and ask them to comment. Or she or he or whoever they are. We still don't know, but lovely Estee Lauder did get back to us and has a comment.
It was like getting a message from like Oz.
I was so excited.
Right?
they do exist.
We wrote to them and we did invite them on the show, but you know, I think for obvious reasons they didn't take us up on that, but they did give us a written statement, which we also said was an option.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read it, okay? It's a little bit long, but just stay with me. We are a guerrilla movement. This is Estee Lauder, by the way. We are a guerrilla movement. Our aim is to provide a platform for people to share their stories and be a catalyst for change. We think it's important to listen to the victims of harassment and believe them. Bullying is a form of harassment, and most victims suffer quietly, unable to defend themselves. As evidenced from the hundreds of stories we shared, these experiences have a permanent negative impact on these victims' physical and emotional well-being. Can I keep going?
Sure.
Okay, because there's quite a bit more. Complaints to HR only seem to get them blacklisted or terminated. We think it's important to draw attention to these stories and give the victims a voice. As with all of our stories, we share them anonymously. And if it's a specific accusation, we do the necessary checks to ensure that they've worked for that company.
So they are doing a little bit of that. That's good.
As with any stories of harassment, it's impossible for us to have physically witnessed these stories. We choose to believe the victims and give them a platform to share their stories. And as with all of our posts and stories, we always tag the brands involved, giving them the opportunity to refute these claims and or share their side of the story.
That's a very good point, too.
So far, only one brand, Birchbox, has publicly addressed this issue as of today.
Good for Birchbox.
Recording time. None of the others, even when prompted by the media, have made an official statement to claim that these allegations aren't true. We wonder why. Full stop. Okay, what
Love
do we think?
Estee Lauder.
Yes.
I think... they really addressed what my issue was, which is that they don't check the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the way that you can check it via Instagram is to tag the brand. That's a very good point because it's not they want them to know that they're calling them out, giving them the opportunity mm-hmm. to show their side of the story. And also, I don't want to be a victim non-believer. Of course, I want to assume these people are telling the truth. And that's a very good point. We should work from a place of we believe them first until proven otherwise, not the other way around.
I think they should be listened to and taken seriously. Yes. I don't know if I read something and necessarily think it's true. Oh, my God.
No,
let's nail this company to the cross.
Like innocent till proven guilty kind of thing. Like I'm saying, like,
right,
or you guilty
think they're well intentioned.
Actually, maybe I'm saying they're guilty till proven innocent.
I think that, yeah, I think it's take all of every request, not request, every complaint seriously.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if somebody said something against me that was bad, I would take it seriously, you know, even if I thought that it was BS, because I don't want that kind of, you know, bad juju around my life.
And if they're not coming back to Estee Lauder and defending themselves, you got to think that might be because they don't want you to know what's really going on.
It could be legal. It could be, you know, who knows. But what I do think is, you know, I don't know if I said this clearly the last time because I was just kind of like riffing because that's our show. But I have seen the bullying firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen it. It doesn't make me happy. I don't think that going to HR, and I'm not speaking a specific job, is like, you know, always works out. It doesn't very often. So I'm happy that there's a platform that's bringing this issue to a head. I'm hoping that companies are looking inwards and actually making change, not just doing like a seminar about like caring about each other. I think people just need to be more decent in general.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that made me uncomfortable, if anyone picked that up in the last episode, and the comments are just starting to roll in,
yeah,
is, you know, I get nervous about this kind, like where the culture is going, which is like, you suck. And, you know,
cancel
like
cancel culture.
Yeah. Cancel culture. But I think we can have transparency and getting these issues out on the table at the same time. So I'm not trying mm-hmm. to snuff them out.
Mm-hmm. Me neither. Thanks, Estee Lauder.
Thank you. I was really excited to hear from you guys. And
the offer's still open. If you want to, if you ever want to be non-anonymous, you know where to come.
We can disguise your voice, guys.
Guys, just come on in. Yeah. And we'll,
sure. You can come in like Pussy Riot with those things on, with the little, you know, masks. Like, I will respect the anonymity.
Or like a dead mouse, like
yeah,
DJ.
Totally. I mean, we'll work it out. But yeah. No, important issue. Okay. Another big hot topic is...
Tell me a headline.
Oh, my God. Ka-ching, ka-ching, Tiffany Masterson, drunk elephant.
Who hasn't heard? How much? So when she came on the show, she alluded, and I knew at the time mm-hmm. they were in talks with a bunch, and it's been reported that Estee Lauder was in talks.
Yes, that was the other
winner, chicken dinner, is Shiseido Corporation, who purchased it for, I believe, $845 million. And the interesting thing to me was a 100% stake. This isn't a minority stake. So
she has a boss now, and that boss is Mark Ray.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how, and we've talked to other founders as they've sold their companies mm-hmm. and see whether they stay on and how it is working with a big corporate company. So we will continue to report on this because we know it's a brand you guys are very much interested in. And we'll see what Shiseido has to do with that.
I think there's a lot of, some people are nervous the formulas are going to change. Some people, I don't have any information on this yet, but I'll get it for you guys. Some people are nervous about them selling in China, like, you know, as part of a bigger conglomerate.
Shiseido does have a distribution in China.
I think they distribute in China. Drunk Elephant, but they do it through this way. And I'll come back to you guys with more information because, you know, I'm certainly interested in this. They do it in this way where, like, they can bypass the testing.
And what she's referring to is in order to sell in China, you do have to do animal testing for the government.
Jen.
If you've listened to the podcast, you've heard us talk about it a million times. But more on that, huh?
It's, you know, I thought I was like, this is an unheard of figure. But Too Faced and It Cosmetics were both sold for more.
Right. Over $1 billion.
Yeah. So.
I believe they have about 100 million. It's reported in sales last year. So it doesn't seem as crazy.
Yeah.
But.
I just don't have those numbers in my life. All right.
I certainly don't. It's Nail Talk with Jessica from Jersey.
Hi.
We're kidding. We're not starting this.
I'm from New Jersey. I can say these things. All right. Let's talk.
Let's talk about
Linda Richman coffee talk. Yeah. Okay. For any of you 90s babies.
But it's acrylics, and that's why
it's acrylics. Okay. I'll say the first time I heard acrylic was my grandfather's girlfriend, Sophie. Sophie Goldberg, RIP, babe. Okay, RIP. She was great. She and I were at the piano at my house, and I was showing her like whatever little chopsticks or thing I learned to Furalese, like really bad.
Yeah.
And she used her hands to show me how like to do something like scales or whatever. And there were these beautiful frosted salmon talons.
Oh, do we have a squoval? What was
they
the
were
tip?
Like, I think they were like squoval. They were not square. They were, I thought they were the most elegant hands I've ever seen.
I love it. Gorgeous.
And thick.
Yes.
But not like unhealthy thick.
No, but like that domed nail.
Yes. And they made this wonderful clicking sound that was definitely like ASMR for me at that time.
On
against the
piano
the
keys. I could hear it in my head.
Yeah. It was awesome. And I said, I love your nails. What are they? You know? And I said, I wanted those nails. She goes, they're acrylics. And she's like, powder and blah, blah, blah. And she explained how it worked.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like magic. Then acrylics went away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I saw my friend Laura at Pretty Connected the other day. And she had these gorgeous nails. I put them on her Instagram story. And I said, what are those? And she said, they're acrylics. I said, get out of town.
They're bad.
Get out of town.
Actually, they kind of never went anywhere in a lot of circles.
Some people just do it. So it's like acrylic refers to a product. Okay. They were from the 1970s and they originally included dental polymers. So if you want to go back to our Jan Arnold episode, remember she talked about that, how like a lot of the technology was for, you know, like in the dental world. So these were deemed unsafe by the FDA. And then in 1979, there was this liquid and powder system created by C&D called the Solar Nail Liquid and Powder System. And then this was like kind of the
safer version of how to do acrylics.
Yeah, that's how I'm getting
and
it.
And C&D is Jan Arnold's company, so that all makes sense. I think her dad was a dentist.
He brought that technology to
everyone.
Also, I should let you know who is giving me all this wonderful information.
Please
it's
do.
Roxanne from C&D. Sorry.
Oh, thanks, Roxanne.
So, yeah, so I just have to thank you, Roxanne. So a lot of salons still use the term acrylics. It's actually outdated verbiage and it has like negative connotations. Because I asked a few nail artists about acrylics. They're like, I don't do acrylics.
Because they have to be sanded off there, and there could be damage to the nail bed. These are the old way of thinking. And what's the case now?
The modern sophisticated term is called nail enhancements, according to C&D.
Okay.
And they can be created with liquid or powder gel. So let's just get into, if you're still kind of scrunching your nose and you're thinking, I don't like acrylics, it's really dangerous. Let me tell you how it works. It's a liquid and a powder. It's an application method where this like nail polish brush is like dipped into a monomer and then a polymer. This is getting very sciencey.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a creamy bead, which is like the most disgusting thing to think about.
Oh my God, I love them spread the bead out on the nail.
Oh, you've seen it?
Of course.
Okay. The bead is placed onto the nail and then shaped and molded with the brush to create the desired shape and length, like Sophie Goldberg's specifications.
That's so satisfying to watch.
So the powder.
It looks like a little mochi. You know, mochi,
yes,
the dessert.
The ice cream?
Yeah.
So the powders are available in clear and pinks and whites and all kinds of colors. And the pros are this. Ready? You get the drama. You can design it. And it's very hard and strong, which is actually great for weak nails.
Mm-hmm.
But the cons are it really requires a pro. This is not something you want to get your corner shop or like Suzy Q's like organic nail salon. Like this is like a very like specific skill. It has a very strong odor.
For the person who puts on the acrylics, there's also, that's I think where some of the dangers were with breathing in some of those fumes all the time. So,
yeah, I think it's more for the technicians than it is for the person. But the other problem is, where the hell do you get acrylic nails? How do you find a good person?
I love that you think they're all over the place still.
Maybe I'm talking to
schmancy
new wave
pants.
Schmance people. I want to say the younger set, but that sounds very ageist. But I just think our younger generation of nail artists are not necessarily trained in acrylic. So I did. I'm getting validation from Luca, who is our
22.
Resident, 22-year-old. It's not something I hear people asking for a lot. If you want to get a great acrylic job, go to cnd.com. They have this thing. It's really cool. It's like a finder. HTTPS, whatever. I'll put the little thing on.
I love that you're saying this, where I think there's probably 80% of our listeners would be like, what's she talking about? They do acrylics down at my local shop.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
But if you want to find the C&D like pro, we'll put up the link to the salon finder. I used it. And there's like a little icon that's next to the people who are like master acrylic trainers.
Yeah. And I just want to say one more thing, because we talked about longevity, whatever. The other big difference, I think, between the gels is the volume, the height you get on the nail. It builds up. So you get that Sophie style drama that just Vanessa was talking about, whereas a gel really is just the color layer and you
and
don't.
It's shiny and pretty.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit thicker, but the acrylics, you can really get like even a dome. And if they shape it nicely, you could draw it. It's just
really
fun
want
to
acrylics
watch,
now.
But okay, are acrylics back?
I'll let you guys be the judge.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
We're here with Renee Rouleau, an esthetician and skincare expert and writer. I love your blog. It's amazing. She's the founder of Renee Rouleau Skincare and more than a few celebrities like Demi Lovato, Lily Reinhart. What's the other one? Lisa Rinna.
Yes.
Mm. Trust their faces to her. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
So excited to be here.
I know. We're so excited to have you in from Texas.
Loyal listener.
Oh, I love it.
That's great. Thanks. We'll
see after this. No, I'm just kidding. So we want to get to know you first. But since we know how much you love to educate your clients, we also have some questions from our listeners and followers for you. So are you ready for this?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
But before.
Uh-oh, what? Go for it.
Wait, yeah.
Lightning round.
Okay. I was like, wait a second. I'm like, we're jumping into the questions.
No, we're getting to know her.
I want to know who you are. You know, I've known of you since I started. I never got to meet you. Love your hair, by the way.
Thanks.
Kind of like pinky rose gold.
Yes.
Little My Little Pony vibe.
Yeah.
But I want to know some stuff that I feel like is going to reveal who you really are.
Perfect.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Mint chocolate chip.
Me too. Oh my God.
Yum.
And I'm Sarah from Olive and June too.
Yeah, you're in good company.
Does it matter to you if it's white or mint green?
It has to be mint green.
Thank you.
Bing, yes.
Bing, bing, bing,
you guys
bing.
Are going to get along.
She can stay. Okay. It's your favorite brand and then I'll move on. This is very important.
I live in Austin and Bluebell ice cream is kind of like our ice cream.
Yeah, we don't get that so much up here.
Yeah, so support the Texas ice
up
cream.
Up north. Okay, cats or dogs? I don't like this question,
you
Jen.
You put it on there, I thought.
No, I think you put it there because I believe that you can be both. I don't like this polarizing binary thing.
Dogs, for sure.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Renee does.
Okay. But like all animals. Most embarrassing song on your playlist?
Most embarrassing song. It's probably something old. Well, there's like a Hall & Oates song. Every time you go away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think maybe that one.
I got
one.
You. Okay.
It's like an oldie very but 80s, goodie. Yeah, yeah, very 80s.
Favorite nail polish color?
I don't know if I know the names of the color, but I only use the Sally Hansen professional, like salon professional, because okay. it has the most amazing brush ever.
Oh, like the salon.
The complete
oh,
it's kind salon of,
yes. Yes, yes, it's kind of rounded.
Yes. Oh yes, my gosh, a game changer. I can't use any other polish. It's the best.
And this is going to be handy for people. What's the best place to eat in Austin, Texas?
Well, it's the place that I eat almost every day. It's called El Cholito. So if you ever come to visit me, I'm going to take you there. But it's a great taco stand and I'm addicted. And then they all know my name. And then once in a while when in Austin, there's a company called Favor that's like Postmates food delivery. Mm-hmm. So I'll favor it. And the people who work there will put a note on it and be like, hi, Renee.
Oh, that's funny. That's cute.
You're
that's
regular. Really funny. So but your skincare spa is actually in Plano, Texas, right?
Correct.
So tell us how you opened that and really how you became an esthetician to begin with.
Yeah. So I've been an esthetician for 30 years and my grandmother was a hairstylist. She used to own the Powder Puff Beauty Shop.
Oh,
and so I
so
know.
Cute.
I love
so
the
cute.
Name. And so I grew up in the beauty environment with her and I knew I didn't want to go to college. And my mom knew that I was always a beauty junkie. So right out of high school, I rolled right into beauty school and that was 30 years ago. So it's all I've ever done. It's all I know. And but yeah, so I used to live in Boston. I went to high school there and I worked at a salon for 2 years. And then my coworker and I, she was my mentor. We opened a skincare salon together. So I was 21 when I opened that. She was, I think, like 13 years older than me. And we had a great partnership, had that for 5 years. And then I just wanted to get out of the East Coast.
I always thought you were Texan.
Yeah, no. And I also grew up in Minnesota and Wisconsin as well as Boston. We moved a lot growing up. But yeah, I just wanted to change a pace. And so I moved to Dallas all by myself. So I sold my half of the business and her and I are still super, super close. But I started Renee Rouleau in Dallas and that was 23 years ago and then started as a skincare spa. So offering services. And then a couple years later, started my skincare line and then started e-commerce in 1999. My brother is a web developer and built me a shop online store in 99. So I've been doing that forever.
Early web.
Yes. And then... and then 4.5 years ago, I was reading an article from Elite Daily called Why You Need to Move 5 Times in Your Life. It's called Staying is Settling, Why You Need to Move 5 Times in Your Life. And I read it. And even though I've moved a lot, but the article was basically about how life is about change and, you know, opening your eyes to new, you know, horizons and adventures. And me and my husband were reading this and he said, let's move. We're not making any new memories in Dallas. And 6 months later, we totally relocated our corporate office and warehouse distribution to Austin just because we read this article and just decided we wanted to change.
What magazine was this?
It was EliteDaily.com.
Okay, I didn't know if it was like Marie Claire.
No, I'm not following that advice. I've been in New York 20 years.
Yeah,
what am I doing?
That's definitely a bold move.
It was very bold.
So it's interesting you were on the same page. I feel like that's something that one person's into and the other person's
not.
No,
we were both on the same page. So I've lived in Austin 4.5 years ago. Sadly, my husband passed away 11 months ago. So a new life has started for me, but it's...
Are you going to stay in Austin now?
Yeah, for sure. I
love
it there.
And I'm sorry to hear that, by the way. I knew about that, but...
Thank you. But no, I love Austin. I live downtown. I mean, I'm walking distance to South by Southwest. So if you guys would...
I feel like you fit in there.
It's so fun. And it's just such a healthy city. There's like hiking and biking and there's a lake and it's just fun. And yeah, I love it.
So you've definitely been thriving since you moved to Austin. Like your brand has blown up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've known about you for a long time, but certainly like you're someone whose popularity I feel like has, from my perspective, increased is kind of like on a steady thing.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I'm seeing this with a lot of facialist brands, though. It used to be the Derm brands, mm-hmm. the Dr. Brands, Dr. Gross, not that these are not great brands that still exist, but the facialist brands are really having a moment.
For sure.
Why do you think that is?
I think people really appreciate, and I don't know why it's necessary estheticians, but I think people really appreciate authority. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot to be said for when somebody creates a line that's really been working hands on with skin. And I think, you know, I have great relationships with dermatologists, but I think estheticians have a certain advantage because dermatologists, you know, some have their skincare lines, of course, but they can kind of fix things with prescription medications all the time. And as estheticians, we're kind of skin detectives. I mean, when you're with a client for an hour, you're asking a million questions, you're getting into their lifestyle. And I think, you know, we kind of see the bigger picture and we can't just hand them a prescription and say, okay, go on your merry way after a 5-minute consultation. Mm-hmm. So I just think the level of expertise and the perspective that estheticians bring is really unique.
And see, that's interesting that you just described what's going on in a treatment. And I've had facials where that definitely didn't happen. So I want to get in some of the questions that we got from our listeners. And the first up is like, how do you find a good facialist? What are the hallmarks? Because sometimes I feel like I've been to a spa and I'm literally just like taking a nap while someone rubs cream on my face.
Right. I mean,
or you could just tell from their fingers they have like not done this that many times.
Oh, that reticent touch. Ooh, creepy.
Yeah, it's like, get in there. Like, I know my face.
Right. I know. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's confident.
How do you find a you if you don't live in Plano or Austin, Texas?
I mean, I think with any profession, it's always a little bit of a hit or miss. You know, I mean, I mean, my blog is designed to educate people. And I think estheticians just really need to be educated and pass that information on to their clients. I think, you know, that my biggest pet peeve with a facial is when people just kind of go through the motions. You know, it's like they're reading a manual and they're, okay, cleanse the skin, do this and do this. But there's no like good consultation. Like at the end of the day, if you have a good facial, you want to walk away with a game plan. You want to have learned something you didn't know about your skin and you want to have a plan for how to care for your skin once you're not having a facial. And I feel like a lot of times people just focus on doing the facial but like then they kind of leave you hanging. And so, yeah, you just have to feel like, you know, find somebody that you connect with that you feel like really listens to you. An esthetician is like a skincare coach and they really should be engaged in your lifestyle. What do you you travel a lot? How often are you breaking out? Like, and just, I don't know. But so you just have to
keep trying until you have that experience where you connect.
Yeah, where you feel like somebody really cares.
Yeah, so you're saying that, you know, a good facial, the hallmarks of it, the hallmarks of a good facial or a great consultation, you know, giving you some advice. What are some other things that you feel like are, you know, signs of a good facialist?
I think they really need to be in tune with what your concerns are. So, you know, I always ask my clients, what are your top 3 skin concerns in order of priority? And it's like, you need to know that. And because sometimes I might look at someone's skin and something that I think we need to correct and focus on, they don't even notice that. And so like, it's just all about, you know, a personalized experience.
That's interesting.
And then even like extractions, for example, like, you know,
she's psychic. I told you that was our next question. Go on.
And that question came from
the best user handle ever. Sib Vicious.
Sib Vicious.
Yeah. Well, are extractions good, necessary, evil? What's the deal? Why is this such a divisive topic?
Yeah. So it's people have had good and bad experiences with extractions. Right. And I think they're appropriate if somebody has a lot of clogged bumps, because the reality is if people have closed comedones and whiteheads, skincare products aren't going to remove those. They're just not. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go to somebody that, like, if you have bumps, they have to be released and you have to have a good esthetician that knows how to soften the skin and so that you're not left all red and that sort of thing. I think, you know, having employed a million estheticians through all my years of owning a skincare company, but some estheticians are not confident with extractions. Some people don't like to hurt people, right? They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. So whenever I tell people if they really need extractions, what you want to do is you want to call the front desk and you say, hey, I really need extractions. Who's the best person you have? And if they go, oh, no, all of our estheticians are good. And you're like, no. Like, I want to know, like, who's the
like
good?
Like, Mary's good at chin
bumps. Yes. Like, everybody,
bumps.
If you work there, you know who's, like, the one to go to. And that's
who is it at your spa?
Who's good? Shelby's great. Grania's excellent.
Shelby knows how to squeeze
How did you know they're great? Do you hear like screaming from like a room, or is it like they need to call someone in here? Like, we can't get this one. Can you have a go at it? Like,
no, it's more like, I mean, when I'm interviewing them and hiring them, like, you know, I get a facial and how do you like extractions? And I mean, they'll tell you, you know, they're like, oh my God, I love extractions. Like,
right.
Like for me, when I found out at like 18 that there was a profession where people would pay me to pick at their skin, I was like, are you kidding me? I could actually get paid for picking? I'm like, sign me up.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I, before we get to the next question, I do like this about you, that you acknowledge that people will touch their skin. Like,
is
there a right way to do an extraction, just before we get to the next question? Like,
so I have a blog post called How to Manually Extract or Deep Clean Your Pores or whatever it's called. But I talk step by step. It includes cellophane, like plastic wrap, warm towels. There's like a whole thing to it. Because the whole thing is you really need to soften the skin. You don't want to just go at it. So you have to like prep the skin. So there is a safe way to do it. Sorry, what was the question?
Like, how do you do it well, but softening the skin with like warmth is probably
You need to prep the skin.
Oh, and you get that little squeezy thing and it comes out all pretty in a nice little tube.
Yes. Well, and then
it's so satisfying.
And then ideally,
when there's like a little,
I know exactly.
Like what's on the inside of the Biore strip, that kind of thing, but coming out of your chin.
I have clients
that. What are those things called, by the way? Those little.
Well, it's probably like a.
I always get it in here.
It's like a whitehead. I mean, yeah. It's like a whitehead
around the chin.
I have some clients that will pull out a mirror and watch me do extractions because they're like, I want to see what comes out.
Oh my God! I used to like make my brother when we were kids, like the teenagers. I used to like get like something out of my face and I'd be like, come here.
Yeah.
And he would indulge me. I'd be like, sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a universal thing.
It was like just understood, like that he would come and like take a peek because I was so excited.
Yeah. No, it's like it's so gratifying.
It is.
I talked to an expert recently who said there's like a biological basis for this. Like if you picture monkeys and how they preen and groom themselves and they're looking for skin tags or things like that, like it's in our nature to want to like clean and care for like skin. I was like, oh, that actually makes sense if you watch the monkeys at the zoo. Like, that's fine.
It's funny.
Okay, we have you mentioned like their skincare coach, so the next time if you don't come back, you know what to do. And one of our listeners, Stefania Chikoto?
Chikoto.
She wants to know how much a good facial should cost, which I know is a difficult to answer, but then also how often should you go? Are you getting anything if you just go once because I happen to be in Texas or whatever?
Mm. It's a great question. So, I mean, costs will vary, obviously, but, you know, on average, I'd say a facial is like $150 or something like that. There are definitely... The people who really need them, you know, versus like a luxury, are people that have a lot of clogged pores, a lot of acne, and post breakout marks. So those are the people that, you know, like you'll see them like every 2 weeks because you need to get on top of those clogged pores. Because if the pores are congested, that's just like a breeding ground for bacteria. And so, but you can't always get them all out at the same time. And you also have to be prepping their skin with things at home that make extractions easier for the next visit. Mm-hmm. So if people have a lot of acne, you know, every 2 weeks, and then once you start getting things under control, then you can kind of go more into maintenance. I'd say at the very least, people should have a facial like 4 times a year. And a big part of that is, yes, to get the facial, but a big part of that is change of season and checking in and saying, hey, you know, your esthetician should say, okay, now the weather's changing, what's your skin been doing? So to me, it's like, you know, I love a good facial and the results are a good boost to your home care products. But at the end of the day, it's what you do at home, right? And so because you only get a facial for an hour, but the habits that you're doing day in and day out is where you really want to have perfection. And so a good esthetician should always be working with you to customize your routine, making sure you get what your skin needs. And if all of a sudden your skin, you know, goes south for some reason, they need to be able to guide you with the right plan. So really it's about, you know, what you're doing at home every day.
So you get the facial, mm-hmm. okay? I heard, well, actually, this wonderful listener, M. Kawati, M-K-A-H-W-A-T-Y.
That's his or her Instagram handle.
Yes, this is our wonderful listener said, is purging after a facial normal? I hear that all the time.
What is purging? I had no idea what they were talking about.
I went to a facialist once, she shall remain nameless, but I left and I had like welts on my face and I knock on wood, I don't break out that much. I broke out.
Oh, okay.
So what happened?
Renee's nodding.
Yeah. So what happens, I generally say that if somebody gets breakouts after a facial, most of the time it's because the person doing it wasn't a good extractor. And what that basically means is when there's something blocked in the pore, if they're trying to squeeze and get it out, if they're not softening and prepping the skin enough and they're trying to get it out and they can't get something out, because a lot of times you can't if you don't kind of really know what you're doing, then you've kind of inflamed it and you've kind of aggravated it. And then it kind of like creates like a monster. So the key to extractions, and I realize it's not legal in every state, but is to use a lancet and you pierce the skin. So you have to know when to use it. You don't want to just be poking holes all over the place. But if you pierce the skin and create an opening, then everything pops out really easily. The problem is especially if you're, you know, using drying products, acne products, if you have layers of dead cells over there, and then you're trying to like squeeze and you're not creating an opening, it's hard. It's impossible for it to come out because it's stuck under all this dry skin. So the key is a lancet to try to create a little opening for the skin, and then things should just pop out really easily.
And just to clarify, haha, no pun intended, but the stuff that we keep talking about, like, is that dried up sebum, dead skin cells? What is that in these like clogged up pores?
Old, that's a great question. What is that
stuff?
Yeah,
it's hardened oil. It's your own natural sebum that's hardened.
Okay.
It might be excessive. It might be some like infection that didn't come out and then just kind of dried up. And so it's like white blood cells and
just a fun cocktail of skin goodness.
You know
in
where
there.
I get like a blackhead or a clogged pores? They don't have like a blackhead, but around my mouth because I wear a lot of lipstick.
Okay,
on the lip line. So it's just, is that just old lipstick?
Well, you probably just for whatever reason have an enlarged pore there, and then it just gets collected in
there. I have one pore where it always gets the same pore seems to fill up. What's up with that?
Yeah, yeah. What is that
normal?
It's just.
Am I normal for Jen?
She looks like kind of like exaggerated right now.
I did just fly in a few hours ago from Austin. But I mean, pore formation is determined during your teenage years. So like basically how much oil genetically you produce. Yeah. And so when you're producing oil, the pores stretch out. And for whatever reason, you know, or, you know, you might just have an enlarged pore because, or maybe you had a blemish that kind of stretched out the pore or something.
I had an ex once. And on his back, it was always in the same spot. It was always productive. Like, I could always go back there for a good squeeze. But it was always the same pore. You must know.
Did you enjoy squeezing that, Jen?
Of course I did.
Was he, like, down with it?
The stream of clogged sebum that would come out of it was always, like, a good, like, half inch of, like, a plugged pore. Like, if I did it once a week, there'd always be the same pore. Would have a nice, and I would,
did he feel lighter?
And it would be great.
Milk it.
This is so. This is like Dr. Pimple Popper, like part two. This is so gross.
Jen needs to have her own show.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the right person.
I know.
Okay, moving on. Monique wants to know what.
Oh, I love this question. I love this question because I'm so tired of getting this DM and not really knowing exactly what to say.
Yeah, that's why we have the expert.
Thank God. Right. Okay.
What at home devices are worth it?
You
have tons of devices in your studio.
Tons of
devices.
Sure. So, how I look at devices, first of all, is all about effort and energy, right? Because it's like, you know, they take time. And so you want to kind of get the biggest bang for your buck. I would say probably my least favorite home device is an LED light. And the reason why I say that is because the time and energy, the 5 minutes, the 10 minutes you use it, yes, there's studies that show that it's helpful in a lot of ways, but unfortunately, you're never going to see anything, right? So it's kind of like eating carrots. It's like you eat carrots and broccoli because you know it's good for you, but it's not like you're going to see anything.
Where's the bang for the buck?
Yeah. So like, I'm just like, so if you want to take that time and do it, but just know that it's not like you're going to use it and also be like, ta-da, you know? Whereas I like something more like a new face or something, like microcurrent, because that's like doing sit-ups for your face. And I feel like the time and energy in that investment is, you can really get good results.
You have to use the new face device quite a bit, though.
You sure do.
The compliance is a big part of it,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
So what is it? Something like 10, 20 minutes a day or something? Or a few times
a week? I'm not that compliant in using mine, so I don't remember. But I think it's like 5 minutes a day or something like
that. Okay.
Yeah, it's like sit-ups if you don't, you know.
What does that mean? Like, it trains your face? Like, how does it work?
So mainly what it does is it stimulates the muscle fibers.
Okay.
So it basically helps to create tone to the face. So like many years ago, it was a different type of technology, but it was called electrical muscle stimulation. I used to do that on clients, but where I kind of became a little bit of an expert when I lived in Boston was for people who had Bell's palsy. So they would lose, you know, atrophy and muscle loss. And so I would do the electrical muscle stimulation on that side and bring that back. And this doctor found out that I was doing it. And so he was sending me all of his patients because, you know, sometimes people don't come back from that for 6 months, 9 months. And people were, it was like cutting the time in half.
Wow.
Yeah. My dad had an episode of that. And like after his face was like unfrozen, it was just kind of different looking on that side, like a little saggy. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
So you're like stimulating the muscles. That's cool. So radio frequency is just a updated, less stimulating version of that in a way?
I don't personally have a radio frequency machine.
Oh, it's not
so I'm
to,
not,
okay.
That's not totally my area of expertise. Because currently, right now, I only take clients out of a hotel room in LA. So I have a handful of celebrities that I see once a month. So I'm only a hands-on esthetician about once a month. And I take like 10 clients and then I come to New York once in a while. But so I don't like, I don't work out of my Dallas location anymore. And so I'm more like a traveling esthetician.
And do you know what machine, like the machines that you have in your Dallas location, you make sure to try all of them to be like, we're buying this one, we're not buying this one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But we don't have a radio frequency. But I think Joanna Vargas here in New York, she has it and she's a good friend of mine.
The facialists are friends. That makes me
happy. Super good friends.
There's no competition.
No. I mean, that's the thing about being in the skincare industry. Everybody has a face. Like, you know, we're not sending, it's not like a niche market
there's plenty of faces.
There's the market on faces. Yes. All right. So I have to ask you, I know you don't do this because, you know, this is not your beat, but what do you think about Botox and filler? You're looking at a lot of faces. You must see some...
Yeah,
some flubs.
I have lots of opinions about it. I think the biggest mistake, like a lot of my clients out in LA, I do a lot of young Hollywood, and so you see all these 20 somethings that are now participating in those things. And so my biggest suggestion, or you know, conversation I have with my clients is, why are you doing it? What problem are you trying to solve? And if they can't answer what problem they're trying to solve, like, why are you doing it, right?
Well, do they say, like, I just don't want to get old?
Yeah, well, they'll say, my friend did it. My friend does it and she looks really good. Or, you know, yeah, kind of for prevention or something like, you know, for preventive aging. But it's like, there's so many, to me, I don't worry so much about the absence of lines and wrinkles on a face. I'm all about skin texture. Small pores, having like a smooth texture. Like to me, that's, you know, there's plenty of people that have leathery skin and are frozen with Botox, but their skin's texture doesn't look good. So I'm much more about like retinol and peels and really trying to get more of a texture than as opposed to erasing every line and wrinkle.
I forgot which dermatologist told me this. So I'm sorry if you're listening, but they gave me this great analogy. They were like, you know, it's like a couch cushion or couch cover. You know, you could pull the couch cover, you could snip at everything, but if it's all like stained and nasty the texture, like you still got the same couch cover. And it was such a clear visual.
Right.
For me.
I love that. Yeah.
Also, that question was from Alexandra Victoria. Thank you, Alexandra Victoria.
Yeah. What I keep hearing you say is like, and I love this, is that if you look at your own face and you don't see problems, like, why would you try and fix them?
Yeah.
Even asking the client, like, what do you think the concerns are?
Yeah.
Because
I've had people like, you know, clients that are like, oh, I want to get like a little bit of filler in my lips or something. And I was like, oh, when you look in the mirror, do your lips bother you? And they're like, well, no.
Yeah, it's like they think it could look better.
I'm sure, but it's just like, but I just really always challenge my clients to just really think about it before they do it.
Where does the real trouble start? Like, as when you said the lip thing, like I can relate to that. It's like, oh, maybe I should do something with this, but I don't look in the mirror and say like, you're so ugly with your thin, gross lips. You know? So I feel like I did, and I'll talk about this at another time. I got myself into a little bit of a pickle because I was just like, I'll try it. You know what I mean? Like, where do you see things going wrong for people?
When they say, yeah, I'll try it.
We're like, trying it.
Like, I guess. Or like, when does it go away?
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
What are those signs that we should like
I think the challenge is that most people don't realize what they look like. You know what I mean? Like, you look at someone and you go, oh, not you. You went and did that. And like, you know, succumb to like, you know, thinking they should do that. But I don't think people realize how much it changed their appearance.
Yeah.
And but then you look at them and went, oh, look at all that work she had done. And so,
oh, Jen and I said that about someone the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and I feel like, and I feel like a lot of like, if you're like, I noticed this once, like I was watching Kim Kardashian on Ellen, and I don't know why she was doing this, but every time she laughed, she would cover her mouth. And so I think, you know, Kim, you know, she it looks really good when she's just not smiling and doing like the typical kind of Kim face. Mm-hmm. But if once you start talking and laughing and actually having movement, I think that's when it can look
you
a little odd.
You think she knew that she may have looked not
weird when
she
laughs.
That's what I'm wondering, because she was laughing and she kept putting her hand over her face. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe there's a reason why she does that.
Maybe
but
she's
like,
being cute.
Maybe. But when I watched it, it felt like she was really covering.
Yeah,
but I also do know that a lot of people, yeah, it's good if you're not smiling, but the minute you start talking and moving your face, that's when it starts to look unnatural.
Totally. Yeah.
So like, you know, it's good for like a selfie, but actually wearing it in real life, it doesn't necessarily like wear well, you know?
I think you're touching on my last question is about the psychology of it, because I feel like you're half psychologist, half...
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm 100%. Yes.
So just to circle back to the picking thing, and just in general, how do you know when a skincare habit has crossed over into being not pathological, I'm not sure what the right word is, but where it's problematic versus what's a healthy way of either like looking at yourself and feeling confident or feeling like I look ugly, or picking in a way that's like, oh, we all do that, versus picking in a way that you took it too far.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all have faces and we look in the mirror and I could go down a dark hole of just staring at like a weird thing on my face for 10 minutes.
Sure.
Like, what's the line between healthy and not healthy with self-care?
I think, well, I'll use me as an example. So as I said, you know, I mean, I'm a skin picker. When I found out I could have a profession, I was like, sign me up. And I loved picking at my skin. Like anyone who was my brother, I was always on his back when he had a blemish, whatever. And I remember, so my acne days were cystic acne. And cystic acne, there's hard sore knots that don't come out, right? But I would try to pick at them because you feel something.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
it's sore. There's something in there. There's a bump and I want to get it. And I remember I'd be in the mirror, you know, poking needles in my face, like squeezing. And my husband would be like, and I'd have like blood dripping down my face. And he'd be like, what are you doing? And I'd go, honey, my hands are licensed. I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing. As I'd like scabbed over or whatever. So I actually had to give it up as a New Year's resolution once when I was like 26. I was like, enough is enough. I'm totally scarring my skin. Like, I gotta stop this. And so I have lots of blog posts about how to stop picking. I have a no picking skin contract that people can print up as a PDF and sign.
That's funny.
And we have this no picking twisty toy.
This twisty toy she sells, do you know about this?
No, what is this?
So kind
of
open it up and play with it. So we sell these basically it's just to keep your hands busy and off your face. So if you're driving, because a lot of times people don't even realize they're touching and picking at their face. But if they have a free hand and they're just thinking and whatever, they're in the meeting and then they're scratching their face, they feel something raised and they're kind of going at it.
It's
and
very
so,
like MoMA store.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
we sell them.
It's
sell
like
tons
a chic fidget spinner.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, picking is when you're doing more damage than good, you know? I mean, when you have scabs and you're just kind of making it worse.
So even if you don't have like a dysmorphia about it, but that if your skin looks worse, not better after you go
I
at
mean,
it.
Most people know that they make it worse. Like they went to town on it and, you know, so I think, you know, and it, I mean, I get it. I definitely get it. But I think... but then there's extreme cases and, you know, where people just literally, like I have a friend, she was a chronic picker all growing up. And her name is Whitney, and we call her Whit for short, but my nickname for her was Whit Pick Zit, because she used to always pick at her skin. And so when she got married, so she was a chronic picker all these years. And when she got married, she was like, okay, Renee, I want to have my skin good for the wedding. And I just flat out said to her, I said, if we can't get the picking under control, like, what can I do? Right. And I said, I will be your coach. Text me. Like, I'll hold you accountable. Those moments of weakness you have, like, call me. Like, I'm on speed dial. I'm your hotline. Like, I'll walk you through it. And I did that for a while, but unfortunately, she kind of just succumbed to it or whatever. And so on her wedding day, she had to, you know, wear a lot of heavy makeup. And poor so in those kind of instances, like, you know, there is medication. You can go see a doctor and, you know, because it's a little bit of an OCD situation. Mm. And, you know, the struggle is real. The struggle is real. And I have clients that I can, you know, the minute they walk in the door, I can see from a mile away who they are. And I actually have an interesting blog post about a woman who at the time she came to me, she was like 45, but all the damage from her. So what happens is all those years of her skin picking, when you get older, pigment cells rise to the surface, and she had all the scarring that came out kind of with perimenopause from all her years like of
every
of,
old picking. Yes, you could
like
see.
It basically came back to bite her. And
stop yeah, now, everybody, did, yeah. if you're a picker.
Yeah, but get I have tons of blog posts about it.
What's this called? It's a twisty toy.
No picking twisty toy.
No picking. It's actually, it's really cool. It's a nice little desk accessory too. It looks nice. Okay, so your skin. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Oh my God, thank you.
I can like see my reflection, not in a shiny, oily way, just because it's so luminous, it's so clear and it's like glass.
It's a nice
skin.
Sofa.
Yeah. And I just got off a plane, so sofa. I'm
You
not
look like this off
it,
a plane. That's insane. What kind of products do you love? What's in your daily routine?
So my skincare line is based on 9 skin types. So I'm a skin type 6. So that's my skin type. People can take the skin type quiz and figure out their skin type.
By the way, we'll link to all the blog posts you mentioned and that quiz as well.
You don't have to do anything. We're going to make it easy.
Perfect.
Or you can go to ReneeRouleau.com.
Thank you. But yeah, so I use that collection for skin type 6. And so I use all my own stuff, but I do have some other favorites from some other lines. So
what are your stuff that you use from your line, just to name a couple products?
Yeah, so probably I travel almost every week. And so my go-to is like my Triple Berry Smoothing Peel, which is...
You brought me that last time I saw you. It's lovely.
So good. And it has 5 acids in it, and it's a skin peel. And I use it post-flight just to kind of reset my skin, because that's an interesting thing as well. Like, it's so popular to do like airplane travel, right? Like, everyone's like, sheet mask on a plane. But what's important to understand is that dehydration from an airplane is a temporary condition, right? And so like people are doing all these things on a plane to try to like kind of compensate for it. But basically when you get off the flight as soon as you can or whatever, or that night or something, reset the skin. So I do the peel, and then we have a rapid response detox mask, which is kind of our hydrating acne mask. Because, you know, when you travel, your skin gets disrupted and people break out. Mm-hmm. And so I do that as a 2-step, and it just completely resets the skin. So I don't have to mess around on an airplane and do all this stuff, because it's kind of a losing battle anyway, because through osmosis, you're dehydrating, and, you know, it's just so that way I don't have to hassle. So it's really more about post-flight, just kind of, you know, resetting. So those two products I use all the time. Once in a while, I'll still get cystic breakouts, and our number one bestseller is called Anti-Bump Solution. It's been the number one bestseller in my line for my 23 years of my company. And then my first skincare salon, I had that as well. And people have sworn that
a cult favorite.
Yeah,
of
they
yours.
Don't have, people who used to get cortisone injections for cystic acne don't have to get it anymore, and it's pretty amazing.
And what about from other lines?
So for skincare or beauty in general?
Whatever.
Okay, so as I mentioned, I'm friends.
Surprise us.
I know. So I'm friends. So I have a good network of estheticians. So Joanna Vargas and I are really good friends. And she has some really nice eye masks. So they're like, I think it's called like brightening eye mask or something. But I love using those. And they're just cooling. I'll put them in the refrigerator. I'm also really good friends with Shawnee Darden out in L.A. And she recently launched a skincare line. And she has a really nice low-foaming cleanser. I think it's called like daily cleansing serum or something that I put in my shower in my rotation, because she gave that to me. So I love her. I love that as well.
Oh, do you have a cheat sheet?
I made little notes because you asked me.
Yeah, what else? Tell us.
I do love, as I mentioned, I'm all about like a smooth texture. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So I love Benefits Professional.
Is it the primer?
Yeah, like comes in that green tube and you put it underneath. Yeah. But like,
it makes you look super smooth.
Yeah, like it fills your pores, but it doesn't clog my pores.
Okay.
But I love using that, and that just gives like that extra.
Is that what you have on now?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
It looks great.
Yeah, thanks. Although it kind of, being on an airplane, when I produce oil, it kind of eats away all my makeup. So it's probably not looking as good as it normally does. But anyway, but yeah. And then what else? Hand cream. I like the Lano Rose hand cream.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
What I like about that hand cream is I don't like a hand cream that then your hands are greasy and you can't touch anything totally. Afterward. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a minute to get used to it because it's like it dries instantly and kind of feels matte, but it actually really repairs the skin. Like a lot of hand creams, they feel luxurious and greasy, but I don't feel like they actually like did anything. So that's a hand cream that I like.
These are all good ones.
Yeah. I also love Derma Doctor, the KP body scrub.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I just saw Audrey, the doctor. She was at the Cosmoprof trade show, and the formula is a little different the last time I bought one. So I asked her and she's like, yeah, we had to reformulate it a little bit. So it's a little bit different, but I still like it. But I'm just like all about smooth skin on the body. And so I just like using that on the back of my arms for.
That's a good tip.
You know.
Yeah, she was on top of KP before everybody else knew what keratosis pilaris was. Yeah. Those are all good products. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for bringing the twisty toy.
This is really cool.
Don't think you're going home with that because that's staying
me,
so I don't go trying to milk the pores of others.
But also if you're in like boring meetings and you're just like, it's just a way to keep you also just kind of busy and just like, you know.
It's kind of like, it's like hard to put back together. And then when you get it, you feel really excited and proud of yourself.
In the same way you do when you squeeze a pore.
Okay, I'm done.
Thank you so much for coming all the way to New York to hang out with
us.
Thanks,
guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's time to raise a wand to Renee for flying her butt in from Texas for us.
Thank you, Renee.
And then can I go first?
Of course you can.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about an exfoliator. Okay. And I like many exfoliators, but I have sensitive skin. So I just got introduced to this brand called Alchemy Forever of Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's like the Frenchy Swiss way of saying it. It's Alchemie. It's actually like a Swiss clinical brand started by a guy who was a laser specialist. This gentle refining scrub is so lovely. It's one of those gommage products that you use on dry skin. And it both turns, like it has the chemical exfoliants to like do your skin starts to peel off. But then the little beads, and it's just so nice and moisturizing and like, I'm like, are you exfoliating or moisturizing? I can't decide, Alchemy of Switzerland.
Okay, this is weird.
What?
I also have a refining facial scrub.
Oh.
Sometimes Jen and I have a mind meld, and it's very strange. It's unsettling. You know? Well, like, it's weird. Like, we really don't talk about the
we're
race.
We're twin flames. We're binary stars.
Do you want to continue talking about your thing?
I think
good?
I made everybody really happy about my description. What do you think?
Okay, no, it's nice. I like you. You had me at like skin flaking.
I had you at gommage.
Gommage. Oh, I love gommage.
What's your exfoliator?
So mine is if you follow me on Instagram, you might know that I'm nuts about Naturopathica. I love that brand. Love it. And they actually have if you're ever in New York and you want to go to a great spa, that's the spa that I send almost everybody to. It's so good. But their products are fantastic, too. Their oat cleansing facial polish. A little pricey, $59.
Wait, this is a gentle, sensitive polish. It's like the same idea.
You could use it every day. Like, I use it as a cleanser sometimes. And the scent is so comforting, especially for winter. It smells like oat milk, if you know what that smells like. Or just like someone's making oatmeal. And it's creamy. Like, you almost don't feel the bits in it.
Feel this one that I just gave you. It's like
this is a little grainier. It's a little bit grainier.
Okay.
So mine is more creamy. Yours is a little bit, I think, probably a little bit more aggressive. And then that's too strong of a word, but you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then the oat cleansing thing, you can use it as a cleanser or you can even use it as a mask. Leave it on for like 5-10 minutes and it kind of just calms your skin.
And your oatmeal face.
Love it.
You like it because it reminds you of a cookie, I think.
Maybe.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.